Brother Tim, I hope you aren't in trouble whenever that you... I will tell you one thing that I learned from my father. Two dates that you don't forget, that's your wife's birthday and anniversary. And I have learned... You don't forget those. I don't even remember my own birthday, but I do try to remember my wife's birthday. It's good to be here this morning. Thankful for all who are in attendance, and I want you to know that as you search for a pastor, we pray that God will direct you and that God will lead you. And we know that He will. He leads us by His Holy Spirit, and I'm sure that each and every one will be in prayer for that venture by this church. This is a precious body. And I thought that as Sister Lily read that last part about the marriage ceremony and the marriage vows, there have been a lot of times, of course, I've been carried away whenever I've said this. But at different churches that I've been at, sometimes it will come to me, "Wilt thou, Elkton Baptist Church, take this man to be your lawfully and eternally wedded husband, he who has purchased you with his own blood?" And I feel that today. I feel that this is a blood-bought, blood-washed, and spirit-led church. And we are praying for you. These days in which that we live are pretty troublesome. And I don't need to be one to remind of some of the things that are taking place out in the world, our nation. Globally, there's unrest everywhere. And even they've raised the specter of the possibility of armed conflict and even armed nuclear conflict. But you know, I'm glad of one thing. God does not change. And God has a plan for all of this. I could not tell you what it is. I could not tell you what the outcome is going to be. But I do know this, that God has seen His people through many, many difficulties, brought them through the Red Sea, brought them into a land where that the inhabitants were, as it is written, as grasshoppers, as giants before us, and we as grasshoppers. So we know that God can lead and God can direct. And we know that God can speak this morning, and that would be kind of the theme of our lesson this morning, is about God speaking and how God has spoken down through the ages. And we want to take for some scripture. If you have your Bible with you, we encourage you to turn there with us to the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. And we are going to begin our reading lesson with the very first verse at the beginning. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself," notice that, "he," that is Christ Jesus, "by himself and only through him purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, Let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, and notice that the Father counted him co-equal with him. Speaking to his Son in past eternity, he called him God also. That's really kind of beyond my understanding. But you know, he did. And there are three in one. O God, forever is ever thy a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old, as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years never fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Set on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? If correctly read this morning, includes the first through the 14th verses of the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. And our text will come, portions of this text, of a scriptural text, from the first and second chapters. First and second verses. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir of all things, and by whom he made the worlds. People will ask the question today, does God still speak? Does God give forth himself and make his will known unto us? And all this that we have read from the Old Testament to the New Testament, was God really speaking? Or was that just something that happened to float into their mind and into their imagination? And they thought that it was God, and they wrote it down, or spake it, or prophesied, whatever. I want you to realize today that whenever that we think about God speaking, we think about God himself. God is omnipotent. That is, he is all-powerful. Do you know that today, at this very moment, these nanoseconds that go by, God is suspending the entire universe. Now, whether he's expanding it or not, as some say, I don't know. But he knows, and he knew the names of every one of the planets and every one of the stars before that man was ever created. Man is just discovering what God has already known, and what God has already seen, and what God has already fashioned. He upholds it. It says, by the word of his power. He didn't just make it and fling it out there and say, okay, there it is. But no, every molecule, everything that exists, that is in motion, is by the will of God, and also is being moved by God. All of it. He didn't just ignore it whenever that he made it. He keeps it in suspension. And then someone will say, oh my goodness, you know, here's an asteroid up here circling around. Well, God knew about that asteroid, and he's piloting it. And of course, we hope that it doesn't hit this earth. But I think God's got that under his control. Every volcano that goes off in a foreign land, God knows about it. Just look at the pictures and think, well, if that has power, how much power that God has? He's omnipotent. There is nothing that God cannot do. He is also omnipresent. He is everywhere at the same time. That's hard for us. Whenever that we are bounded by space and by time, we can't begin to imagine how God can be everywhere at the same time. Even over in foreign lands where there's churches like this one that are gathering together in his name, God is there. And he's blessing them. And his Holy Spirit is dealing with them. And his Holy Spirit is speaking unto them. And then we know that God is all of these things. And he's omniscient. Now, I cannot grasp this, that God knows everything. Knew it from the beginning. He knew all about us. He knew that the man that he would create would someday bring sin and death by sin into the world. God knew that. And somebody will say today, well then why did God allow it to happen? Why did he bring it about that those things would happen, that Adam would sin and plunge all of humankind into darkness and into sin and into death? Well, there is a glory in it. I don't understand all of it. I don't understand why he allowed it. But I do know that there is a choir that is waiting to be assembled in future eternity in heaven that sings a song that not even the angels know the words to. Do you know what that song is? Thou art worthy because, Lord, you have redeemed us. You have purchased us. You have saved us by your own Son's blood. And that's a song the angels do not know and cannot sing, but we'll be singing it. Each and every one of us will be singing that song to the honor and glory of God. Now, God, we understand, is holy also. He cannot be in the presence, so to speak, of sin because that he is holy. I have an obsession with studying about the Ark of the Covenant and about the tabernacle. And you know, whenever that I studied it and I looked at it, it seemed like, oh my goodness, you've got to sacrifice something just to get into the gate. And even then, when you get into the gate, you got to sacrifice again. You got to sacrifice again. You got to sacrifice again. So many sacrifices that they had to remember and had to initiate. And they had to cleanse themselves. And even the priests that ministered unto God had to come in a holy fashion into what was referred to as the Holy of Holies. God is holy today. He is righteous today. And you know, whenever that man sinned against God, it separated man from God. There was a silent barrier. There was a veil, if you will, that came between God and between man. And God was not obligated whenever that man sinned. Excuse me. God was not obligated to do anything for man to rectify the sin and the curse that came upon this earth. God was not obligated in any way. But we find that there's also this aspect about God. God is love. And we find in the Bible that it says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come under repentance. And sometimes I would look at the tabernacle and so on and so forth, and I would think, God's keeping them out. God's keeping them out. And then I saw a different perspective. It's God inviting them to come, and he's making provision for them to come. And we come unto God through the same means only. It's not through the offering of sheep, of goats, of bullocks, so on and so forth. It's through the blood of his Son that we come unto God. When God sees you today, He doesn't see your sin. He sees the blood that His Son shed for you. That was applied unto your heart whenever that God saved you. And we find that God has even chosen not only to love and to save sinners, but God also speaks. You know, there was a saying, an investment company back years ago, that every time somebody mentioned that investment company's name, everybody went like this to hear what they had to say. Where do I put my stocks in? Put it in gold? I don't know. You may put it in gold. You know, I'm not. I'm just using that to illustrate that every time this company, and you notice I've tried to not mention them so that it wouldn't be misunderstood as being a plug for them. You can get that on TV. But I want you to know that every time that he would or they would say this, everybody would listen. And you know, God's like that. He speaks. Now, He may not speak in the manner as we understand it, but we find that throughout the Scriptures, God has spoken. God spoke unto Adam, and He said, "In the day that you eat of this fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt die." And we find that God spoke unto the patriarchs. We find that one day that Abraham was out, or I'll go back even further than that, Noah was going about in a wicked and evil generation, and God spoke to him and said, "Noah, I am going to send judgment upon the earth, and I want you to build an ark of safety." I got curious and drug my poor wife up to a place in Kentucky where they have tried to replicate that ark. And you know, I knew it was big, and I guess this is accurate, but it was a lot bigger than I thought it was. 800 feet long, 80 feet in height. That's quite a bit. But you know, that's how God's salvation and His ark of safety is. It's big enough for everybody. He has built it for whomsoever will, let him come. And so God spoke unto Noah and revealed to him what he was about to do. God has done that throughout the ages. We find that he spoke to Abraham, "Get thee out of the land of your fathers, and I will show you a land that I intend to fulfill my promises." And Abraham just went. He traveled. He'd settle. He'd travel. And you know, he wasn't exactly sure where that it was going to end. But we know that when he got there, God said, "This is it. This is what I promise unto your seed." And he said, "Your seed will bless the earth." And not only his seed, Israel, would bless the earth, but if you ever trace Abraham's lineage, look where it ends up at. Jesus Christ coming into the world. And my friend, God speaks. God would speak through the prophets unto the people of God. We find that he would raise up people like Elijah, Elisha. He would raise up people like Ezekiel and Daniel. Some were speaking prophets. Some were writing prophets. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be, and the woman of God, may be thoroughly furnished unto good works. God moved upon individuals and communicated, to use our vernacular, communicated unto mankind what His will was. And he would tell of things that would come. He even communicated about what would happen to the enemies of Israel. You read over in the books of Ezekiel and Isaiah. Not only were they prophesied to Israel, but also we find that he had some judgment that was coming to Edom. He had some judgment that was coming to the Moabites. He had some judgment that was coming unto the Amalekites, the Ammonites, and every ite that you could think of that was in the land of Israel. He spoke to them all. And the question comes up, does God speak to us today? I don't know that he speaks, and there are some people that have said they've heard verbally the voice of God. And I don't know. Maybe they have. I really don't know, and I have no right to question. But I do know this, that God has spoken unto us in these last days. These days in which that we live, God has spoken unto us. How does he speak to us today? You know, whenever that you search the scriptures today, they always end up coming down to God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. I had a friend of mine that one of the places where I pastored, whenever that he would teach Sunday school or he would study for his Sunday school lesson, he would say, you know what, Brother Cofer, the more I get into the Word of God, he said, the better you sound. And I said, well, that's God. It's not necessarily me. But I want you to know that we understand, whether we understand the preacher or not, we understand more of God's will for us. And you know, it comes down to interpreting or trying to discern, you know, what the scripture is trying to speak to us about. Have you ever had scripture come to you? That's not your memory alone. That's God activating some neurons in your brain and bringing his word forth. I used to think that God was bringing forth things in my brain, and I've learned not to get into that. But I want you to know there have been times when a scripture would come to me, and I have no idea what this is about. And I would study it and prepare and so on and so forth. And then later, he would say, I want you to preach this that I gave you over here. And you're going to go preach over here. And you're going to go preach over there. And so it behooves us. And someone will say, man, I'm glad that doesn't happen to me. But it does happen to you. Whenever that you study his word, he speaks to you specifically. Does God know about me? Does God know about my situation? Does God know about my heartache? He most certainly does. We find the shortest scripture in, I guess, the Bible that tells us how God feels towards us. Jesus stood at the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days. Talk about power. Man that had been gone for 4 days. And Jesus stood before his tomb and stood before his sepulcher. And the Bible says Jesus wept. And the Jews that saw this said, my, how he loved him. Well, if he loved Lazarus, my friend, he loves you. My friend, don't let the devil tell you today and try to make you doubt God. I don't see God working in my life. He's not working there. And the devil just right there saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. He's not. He doesn't love you. My friend, stop listening to the devil, getting you to doubt, making you to fear. Do you know that God has not given unto us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? God spoke through the prophets, and he spoke through the writing prophets. One day, Daniel was praying over the sins of the people that had landed them in captivity in Babylon. If you read the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, and the 10th chapter, oh my goodness, you'd think that Daniel was trying to repent for the sake of them that were captive. But then God began to speak to Daniel and placed within Daniel's desire and placed within his inclination to write a word that you're not going to find anywhere else in the Bible. He spoke about Mashiach, or in other words, the Messiah. The Messiah who was to come. And not the Messiah that was going to deliver Israel necessarily, but the Messiah that was going to deliver each and every one of us out of our sins and into a right relationship with God. He has spoken unto us through the prophets. And now in these last days, after his crucifixion and resurrection, God has spoken to us through his Son. I find on one occasion where that Jesus had come down to the River Jordan to be baptized of John. And the Bible tells us today that as John baptized Jesus, as he came up out of that water, a voice from heaven spoke unto every one of them that were there. And he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." My friend, God declared him. John declared him. And the Holy Spirit, you see, there was all three there that day. And the Holy Spirit lit upon him in the form of a dove that they could see it. You see, today sometimes we need a show and tell where we can see what's going on. But nevertheless, God brought it about. He said, "Hear ye him." And throughout Jesus' ministry, throughout Jesus' walk upon this earth, the scripture teaches us today that there was never a one with the wisdom and the knowledge and the love that had ever walked the land of Judea. Even the very scribes and Pharisees had to admit, never a man spake like this man. Never a man communicated and gave unto us the revelation of God. Jesus was God among us. I want you to know, when you looked at him in that day, you were looking at God. You were looking at the Father. And he said in one place, "I and my Father are one." Not that they're separated out. Not that Jesus was a man that decided one day, "I'm going to call myself the Son of God." No. When Jesus came, he knew exactly who he was. And I even go back to whenever that he was 12 years old. He knew. They were gone to observe the Passover in Jerusalem. And Mary and Joseph, they couldn't find Jesus as they left. He was 12 years old. Oh my goodness, where did he go? Where did he go? He went off to the temple. And he was sitting among the doctors and the lawyers of Moses' law. And he was teaching them, and they were answering him, and they were speaking to him, and he was speaking to them. And they marveled, how can a 12-year-old know the things that he knows? It's because he's God. And he still speaks to us today. He's not changed. My friend, we don't have to go through any other mediator, through any other go-between, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in one place, he said, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ." And that young 12-year-old, as Mary and Joseph found him, and they took him and said, someone asked one time, did Jesus ever get in trouble? No. But I wonder if those parents were very concerned and worried, and they expressed that concern to him, and they told him and said words to the effect about, "Son, where have you been? You have worried us, and we've been searching for you for days." Can you imagine? He sat in that temple for days, and those doctors and lawyers of Moses' law sat in that temple for days, talking about the things of God. "We've been searching for you for days. And we've been worried about you. Why did you do this to us?" And I want to tell you, no matter what the age would have been, some of the most profound things came out of his mouth. He said, "Why were you searching? Would you not know that I would be in my Father's house, about my Father's business?" Oh, my lands today, never a Savior, never a man, never a philosopher ever spake like this man. And even other religions. Christians have a respect towards him because they look at his words and they marvel. If only that they could see a little bit further. My friend, that not only was he wise, not only did he have this knowledge of God, but also he had a great love that they might come unto God through him. God, he has spoken unto us through his Son. He speaks to you today. He speaks to me today. And you know, in this day in which that we live, we're listening to all these voices of dissension, of controversy, so on and so forth. I always, you can ask my wife, and I don't want to engage in this too much because I get carried away even with this. I'm a ham radio operator, and I don't know that much about it, but I know enough just to get me in trouble. But when you listen to a receiver sometimes, there's all this crackling and all of this static. And then, you know, you try to listen to a signal, to a station that's coming in, and you try to figure out, you know, what they're saying. And it might go off frequency a little bit, and you get somebody else. Or you get this one over here. You know, it can be frustrating. But that's how it is with us. We're hearing so much static. We're hearing so much controversy out there in the world. Don't just take it with you. Just take it with you. That God is trying to speak to each and every one of us, each and every one of Elkton Church. You know, I pity the thought sometimes what our world is coming to. But when you hear the Word of God, whenever that you hear the promises of Him, we know that He has it under His control. And there will come a time whenever that God calls an end to it all. And then, as the sister said, we go to be with the bridegroom. And you know, knowing that, are you listening for another voice? A voice that will echo from one end of the universe to the other? A voice that all will hear. Even those that sleep in the silent city of the dead, they're going to hear the voice also. That voice is, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Christ will step down from that throne where he is seated now. He will step down as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He will step down from that throne, and his Father will say, go get your bride, son. It's time for a wedding supper. Now, I want you to know there's going to be a supper, and we're going to sit down beside our bridegroom. Now, I love my wife, and Lord knows I'd give my life in an instant for her. But you know, Christ has a greater love, a deeper love, for each and every one of his people. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with his blood. You don't belong to anyone else, just him. You are his, and he is yours. And he is going to come, and we are going to be taken out of this world, and we are going to a wedding supper. My friend, you don't have to wait in the mail. You know, you're not going to get an invitation. You've already got an invitation. Your invitation's right down here. Right down here. When God saved your soul, he not only saved you, but he placed, oh, by the way, there's a supper coming on. You're going to be there. You're going to be there. And you know, we'll sit down at the table beside of our bridegroom. And I want you to know that we're going to sit down in that kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you'll say, how am I going to know them? There's no pictures in the Bible. You'll know them the way that the disciples recognized Elijah and recognized Moses in the Mount of Transfiguration. We will know as we are known. And I want you to know that call could come at any time. But God bless you is my prayer. God bless you is my desire. And I pray that you'll listen throughout the week, throughout the year, the remainder of this year and into the new one. Listen for his voice. Listen for his voice from here. Listen for his voice from here. And if you'll listen as he speaks, I want you to know you'll be blessed. God bless you. God be with each and every one of you. I'm glad to be here today. Thankful for this opportunity and for each and every one. May God bless your loved ones. May God bless your sick and afflicted. May God bless your lost loved ones. May God bless your neighbors. Be with them. We're thankful for his blessings and for his call. And yes, God in sundry times, diverse manners, spake unto the prophets. He's now in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also that he made the works. And when he had purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, expecting until that he makes all of his enemies his footstool. Whenever that he finally comes down once and for all on the head of the serpent, it'll be done. It'll be done. May God bless you is my prayer.